Monty James for America's Hot Barn Report on this great American hometown radio station. Once again, we have the honor and pleasure of talking to Mike Rounds, the Go Get 'Em Senator from South Dakota. And Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk with us. Are you in South Dakota or back in D.C. after the holidays?
I'm stuck in D.C. I wish I was back in South Dakota right now, but this is where the damage is being done, and this is where we got to go to work.
We commend you for your fine work. And before we get started here into serious stuff, who is your favorite Yellowstone character?
Oh, golly. Well, Kevin Costner, for me, I mean, I've just always respected his work, but I think Costner just does a spectacular job.
Great show, and it gets a little bit rank, but pretty realistic, but yeah, gotta love it.
A little bit on the dark side, but you know what? There's some scenic views in there as well for those folks that have observed it.
Absolutely. Gotta love Rip, too, right?
Amen.
Yeah, you bet. Mr. Rounds, there's a lot of bills floating around pertaining to the beef industry and M-Cool. What one is leading the pack, would you say?
Well, I think Chuck Grassley and Deb Fischer, the two senators from Iowa and Nebraska, have come up with a compromise proposal with regard to information sharing and also with regard to the comparison of cash markets and so forth. I was an original co-sponsor of Senator Grassley's bill, the 5014 bill, and
right.
Senator Fischer had an alternative. I'm not sure about the alternative yet. I haven't signed on as a co-sponsor yet because I'm a little bit concerned about the amount of authority and reliance on the bureaucracy there in the Department of Ag. But I think this is one that does have some legs under it, and I think we'll get some good hearings in the Ag Committee. And, if they can put together some modifications to it, that one might have some legs under it.
Awesome. We had some questions come in pertaining to the cattle industry off social media. Would you mind taking a few?
Let's fire away and see what we got.
Okay,
I don't know if I can answer them or not.
I've got complete confidence in you. This comes out of the Sandhills of Nebraska from Karina Jones. She is our Hot Barn Reporter hostess. And Karina ponders, has there been aggressive enough actions to resolve antitrust issues in the beef supply chain?
Not yet. And that's got to come out of the Department of Justice. We have asked two attorney generals now, the former one and the current one, if they would continue these investigations. I just got a response back on the 27th of December to my most recent inquiry as to where the investigations are going. And they politely told me that basically they can't talk about ongoing investigations. I do know on a third party kind of report, some producers had told some fellow senators that there had been some inquiries in North Dakota with regard to antitrust activities. Look, you got 80 to 85% of the entire market for processing among four processors. And Teddy Roosevelt did his best to stop this way back in 1921 when they four packers had a little over 52% of the market. It's going in the wrong direction. And so for me, I just want to get a fair, straight up shot for our producers back there. And I think the packer concentration is bad for the country. The fact that two of them are owned by out of country corporations is not positive for us. And I think the fact that they can bring in beef from outside of the United States, and if they repackage it under our USDA rules, can put a product of the USA sticker on it is absurd. And that's a rule that our department made up. I've asked for 2 years for legislation that will eliminate that. I think the department is about ready to make a modification itself, but we're going to keep the pressure on. So number one, no, we haven't had enough attention to the antitrust yet. We're going to continue to ask the questions and bring attention to it. In fact, I brought it up in front of a committee hearing just today with the chairman of the Federal Reserve and asked him about inflation and the impact on consumers when they had to pay $5 plus for a pound of hamburger and what that does. And he acknowledged that that's something that is a supply side thing. And I really appreciated him getting into the fray with me a little bit on it. Longer term, mandatory country of origin labeling would really help us. M-Cool, if we can get it in for the long haul and get it in our trade agreements, would definitely help because the quality of the beef that we produce in the United States is second to none. And we ought to be able to identify it and give consumers the confidence to know, where it came from, the quality of it, And honestly, if we can stop some of the activity going on with the concentration of Packers, get that price back where it ought to be.
Okay, you bet. Now, you kind of answered this a little bit. This comes out of Storm Lake, Iowa, from a social media Facebook follower. Says, what's the battle plan to get M'Cool reinstated?
The reason why it didn't work last time is because it was not included in our trade agreements with Mexico and Canada, and yet we had imposed it at the legislative level. World Trade Organization came back and said, you can't just arbitrarily do that without having it in your trade agreements. You've got treaties with these other countries, and you're not following it. And so they were going to impose a $2 billion a tariff, basically, on other products as a penalty. That's the reason why we lost it in the first place. The best way to do it is to have the administration get clear directions from Congress that any modifications to our trade agreements with Canada and Mexico will include mandatory country of origin labeling authorizations. And that way, the other countries acknowledge that we have the right to authorize mandatory country of origin labeling. Look, in doing that, I don't know why the other countries aren't proud of their beef. We're sure proud of ours. And if we can do it with other products, why can't we do it with beef? The only reason is because we have never included it in our trade agreements. And we got to start doing that.
I like it. This is from Matt Bruner from Carthage, South Dakota. Ever been to Carthage, Senator?
I have been, and as you know, I had a chance to visit with Sean Penn one day there, and when they were talking about filming in Into the Wild, and had a great time there. I got a lot of cousins over in that part of the country.
Nice. Cabaret bar. Gotta love that place, right?
And they got a little museum there that's made out of straw bales, as I recall, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Cool place. Matt asks, quote, Senator, do you have any – okay, this is kind of complicated. Do you have any interest in lowering or limiting the amount crop insurance covers so that we reintroduce volatility into crop production, in turn reducing the land acquisition and financing advantage large operations have over small cattle operations? Who is this guy, a lawyer?
No, but I'll tell you, what he is he's an operator.
Right.
He's a guy that actually is understanding that we have made land extremely valuable. And one of the reasons why it's valuable is because right now we have put in place safeguards that allow people to know that they can get an income regardless of what might happen with weather and so forth. Now, look, this is a touchy one because the vast majority of our producers want safeguards put in place so that, you know, they don't go bankrupt because they have a failed crop year for a couple of years in a row. So at the same time, though, the value of cropland is going way, way up. We know that, and in part because they're not making any more of it.
Right.
Second of all, because they know that there is an income coming in. Now, the other impact on that is you got land coming into places where there used to be livestock being produced or grazed on it. Folks are clearing that out, and they're turning it into cropland. With the price of corn up where it's at right now, sunflowers, soybeans, those commodity prices are up. Farmers are making that decision that rather than keeping, livestock there, they're going to go into commodity production because they can get an assurance through the crop insurance program of some sort of income every single year. So you understand the reason why it's questioned?
Yes.
I don't have a good answer to it. I really don't. But I think he brings to mind and a chance for us to discuss it. This is something that I think the organizations, the different farm organizations, can step in and actually provide some additional input. So that rather than Republicans and Democrats up here try to make a decision that we think is right, get the folks that are actually day-to-day operators to come in and share with us, you know, the good and the bad of the recommendations that are out there. But this gentleman makes a really good point, and it's one of the reasons why the price of land on a per acre basis is going up, particularly there in his part of the world. They're talking, you know, anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 an acre in that part of the country,
wow,
from what I understand.
Check out the brains on Matt, huh? Wow, good question there, Matt.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated subject. What's up with the pheasant population? I know you're an avid hunter. It's kind of been slim pickings in South Dakota. Did you see a lot of roosters this past fall?
You know what? The roosters, we saw a lot of them on the wild side. They're coming. It was a third hatch. They were small. The drought really does impact. You know, you can have a great environment. You can have lots of cover. But you need kochia weed, and kochia is something that a lot of farmers are chasing out of the environment right now. But along with good cover and nesting habitat, You got to keep an eye on the skunks and the coon, because they'll do nests as quick as anything.
Right.
But the real issue is you got to have grass that's consistent, you know, a medium to tall grass that they can nest in. And the second item you got to have is some rain, because little pheasants don't survive without bugs. And if you don't have any rain, those little pheasants aren't going to survive. So that first hatch and that second hatch this year, they just didn't make it in most of the state because we didn't get rain until later in the year.
Wow, I can't stump you. You're just, you know, a little bit or a lot about a lot of things and everything. So thank you so much.
I was just hoping you had your boots on.
I do, by the way. You know, and thank you so much, Senator, for making people accountable, even former presidents. Sorry for your recent loss, and we certainly hope you continue the good work in Washington.
Thank you. And Monty, I appreciate the opportunity just to visit with you. You have a good day.
Thank you so much. There we go, Mike. Thank you.